Welcome to the Yokoji Zen Mountain Center podcast. Every month, we share at least one new talk on the practice of Zen Buddhism at cmc.org/podcast. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, and all other podcast apps. If you find these talks to be valuable, please consider supporting Yokoji by donating at cmc.org/donate. We rely on your support to continue sharing this life-changing practice. Thank you. We hope you enjoy the talk.
Good morning. Hope all of you are doing well. Anil just sent a text saying that there's fire engines moving to the east, which is now lit near where we are. Hopefully it's nothing, but I can't smell any fire or anything. So if you suddenly see me freaking out, you'll probably know what it is. So today, as usual, I'm bringing up a public case. They're regarded as public cases because they're important to us as human beings. You know, there was a question last week of why, a text message, why do we use these old stories? Religion is an old story. No matter who, you know, there's examples in those old stories. There's ambience, there is feeling, there's all kinds of things that relate to us as human beings. This particular koan that I'm going to bring up is really about the core of Zen, the core of what I would say is true religious work. And so without any further ado, I will get into it. The interesting thing here is because the koan is so short, the introduction is long. So here we go. Case 7 of the Blue Cliff Record, again, Secrets of the Blue Cliff Record. This book by Cleary. Asking about Buddha. Introduction. The unvoiced statement is not transmitted, even by the sages. If you have never seen it personally, it's as if worlds away. Even if you discern it before it is voiced and cut off the tongues of everyone on earth, you are still not naturally quick. That is why it is said, even the sky cannot cover it. Even the earth cannot support it. Even space cannot contain it. Even the sun and moon cannot illumine it. When you are independently worthy of honor, where there is no Buddha, only then are you getting somewhere. If not, then penetrate through on the tip of a hair to release great illumination and be free and autonomous in all things. Then whatever comes to hand is it. But tell me, what do you attain to be so extraordinary? Does everyone understand? No one recognizes the sweating horses of the past. They only want to emphasize the achievement crowning the age. Setting aside the matter of the present for a moment, what about Secho's koan? Again, Secho is the one who's compiled these koans. So the example, Echo asked the teacher, what is Buddha? Hogan said, you are Echo. The verse, in the river country, the spring wind hasn't stirred. Deep in the flowers, partridges are calling. When the waves at the triple floodgate are high, fish become dragons. Yet fools still scoop evening palm water. So, you know, I mean, here is, what is it to scooping evening palm water? You know, I guess it's getting a bit rank by the end of the day. But, you know, just this thing with Buddhism, you know, we fall into schemes, we fall into words. One of the unfortunate things with Buddhism being a so-called foreign religion is that we have to translate the words, and some of the words we've just kept. you know, like Buddha in Sanskrit, Pali, basically means awakened, a person who's awakened. So, you know, can you really own it? That's the question of Buddhism. But then, you know, we make statues of Buddhas, and I think that was probably somebody's fault around the time of Alexander the Great, where they went to India, and they heard about the Buddha, and they go, well, where are the statues of the Buddha? And they didn't have any. And so they needed to depict him, just like, you know, most of the gods from Persia and Europe. They need to put those in, and obviously Egypt too. So then they started making statues of the Buddha. Apparently, they were so impressed by these that the Chinese then started making statues. And apparently a lot of those of that first, I think, Qin Empire were based on the Indian statues that obviously that came from Alexander the Great's people. So I digress. But it's kind of interesting. At one point, there were no statues. There weren't depictions. And that's a beautiful thing. I mean, when I look, is that Buddhism is alive now, as each one of us that are here. I don't necessarily mean as a full actualization, but each one of us has that wisdom and virtue. You know, virtue mean, in this case, as isness, that is our lives. But for some reason, we tend to defer that responsibility until some other time. You know, we have the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, the cities, the cars, all of these things, besides the cars, that the Buddha had when he was alive, you know. So this awakened one that's here now. So what's all the fuss about? Why build all of these training centers? Why build temples? Why have people dedicate their lives to, say, the forms, the application, the insight? Why have all of these things when basically that's what we have right from the beginning? Now, I'm bringing up more questions simply because, you know, like the life of a human being, basically, as we are, has always been like this. And yet, every single generation, we bring up very similar questions. You know, nowadays, we tend to be fairly arrogant with our intellect and intelligence and going, well, why do we pick up these old stories? You know, why do we do these things? Because they encourage us on one level or another. In some cases, they actually point out things that, well, wait a minute, you know, maybe that's not the best thing to do. We can learn vicariously through the past. We can learn vicariously through history. We don't have to repeat the same mistakes. But ultimately, with all the Zen koans, basically, is that it's almost like you're paring away all of the ideas, notions, and beliefs that that tend to block our vision. It's almost like looking through a veil. You begin to pick the veil apart. That's the practice until we actually see what is at the core of our own lives. So Aichu asks him, what is Buddha? And he says, you are Aichu. And this is important. It's also, how does he say that? You are Aichu. What else are you looking for? There's a nice statement here by Tenkei Densong Daisho, who's in our lineage. Tenkei says about this koan, he says, set your sights high. You are you. Don't be spun around by the word Buddha. Look outside the words. There is no calculation, no arrangement. But how do you really swallow that? You know? Now, if that point is clear, then really all you're left with is the exploration of this. Now, that's where the work really comes in. It's like for myself is, getting beyond all of the... the complexities of Buddhism, getting beyond the complexities of many koans. It really comes down to one thing, you know. Like when I first started practice, I didn't start to become a Buddha. I didn't start to, become something else. I started because I was suffering. I couldn't really vocalize it at the time, but I could feel it, and I had to do something about it. There was no debate there. There was really no debate. It had to be done. It had to be taken care of. So those were my eyes. You know, it didn't matter what people brought in. The only reason I didn't follow a Christian path is it wasn't well marked out enough for me as a human being. The only reason I didn't, follow the therapy paths, which I tried in various ways, is they didn't work for me. It didn't address the core issues. I'm not saying that they don't. For some people, it really does. But for me, no. So this, in many ways, was following the so-called awakened one's path, in the sense of Shakyamuni eventually stopped doing all of his ascetic practices to deal with his basic question, which is the hardest thing to deal with. That is the hardest thing. Under these robes or these clothes, if you're not at home with yourself, that's exactly the thing that needs to be taken care of. You know, this is the core of practice. Like when people start to, get concerned about stories of the past, is these stories have come down to us because they're still relevant to us in today's time. You know, again, just with the arrogance of the modern day, there's like, for instance, the propane guy came to Jokai's house to repair a propane thing, and we were talking to him about in town, and he said, a lot of my time now is dealing with newcomers to the mountain. They're really high tech and everything, but one of them was trying to light a fire by putting a match under a log, And so he's spending a lot of his time teaching people how to do things that our ancestors knew how to do very easily. You know, we have this arrogance. We become so specialized in certain ways of looking at the world that we lose that whole perspective of being, which has been here and was equally abundant in our human ancestors 75,000 years ago. We shouldn't get arrogant about our own insights, but rather learn and look at all of these things that occur. What you have to remember is that the Buddha put out a path. It's a path. You have to walk on it. That's where the effort is. The effort's not in the words. You know, that's one of the nice things with this koan is it says, everybody now looks at the glories of the present, but doesn't recognize the sweating horses of the past, the efforts that he took to get to where you are now as a human being. We should really look at that and appreciate it, but don't expect others to see that. That is only seen by people who have walked the path in various ways. You know, not that that's important. The practice as it is seen now is the most important thing. You know, I'm laughing to myself. That's why I'm going to retire in a couple of years. you are Echo. You know, you're Terry and Penny. You know, you're Dan and Laurie. You are exactly that. But can you really appreciate it? You know, can you really appreciate the life that you had? When you look at Maizumi Roshi's lifetime teachings, the book was called Appreciate Your Life. And some people say, well, that's not how he was when he was younger. You know, he was that way. It was a lot fierier, but it became more and more important. The one who sees through these eyes, hears through these ears at this moment in time is the one who's most important. And then the change in his teaching towards the end of his life, which I've said on many times, instead of putting forward a one-size-fits-all practice, You know, I want you to see what practice it is for you, and I'll encourage you in it. Because really, it has to be done by you as a human being. You know, again, this is the core of Zen practice. This is the practice stripped down. But then how can we really accept that? You know, obviously we have to look at the depth and breadth of our own lives, you know, and also look at, nobody can tell us that from the outside. That has to be experienced. You know, and even though we have the same life as everybody around us, you know, and historically the same way, we may have different economic, social ways of being, but at the same time, is that entirety of being is presented to us on a daily basis. And again, it's not fixed. Many people, and look, this is one of the reasons we have koans, is that each one is like a scenario. And then eventually what happens with that is as we do in life historically, as we do in life practically, like when we're going into difficult meetings or so, we'll set up the scenario. We'll go through it in our minds so that we have some mapped territory. Doesn't mean that scenario is going to work, but in time is that, especially with koan, you're left with the unknown. A lot of people are very uncomfortable with the unknown. But by keep on entering into the unknown, in other words, territory that has not been mapped yet, that is the main thing that, say, koan study will do for you. And in fact, when I say that, don't think that I'm just talking about koan. Is the basis of koan is shikan, or shikan. Taza just means sitting, but shikan is there with us 24/7. Just this, all koans come out of that. It's a direct dealing with reality as it is at this moment in time. And whose is that reality? You know, that's where the responsibility lies. You know, there's that beautiful statement, I think, by Doan Dohi, where he said, if you want to be a person of suchness, you should practice suchness without delay. Seeing as though you're already such a person, why worry about such a thing? You know, I mean, these words, you know, in many ways they're trite, but again, they're markers in our lives. I am a person of suchness. It can't be another way. Why? Because it isn't another way. This thoroughly is exactly what my life is. It is not following a plan. It has never followed a plan. Most plans fall apart, but the reality is showing on a momentary basis 24/7. You know, so if he says, yeah, you know, you are tension, yeah, that's good enough. You know, never liked the name much, but you know, that's the way life is. You deal with this. And then the more that you can sit in the midst of the unknown, you see how deep that is. It's the deepest part. You know, just like Master Jizo said, not knowing is most intimate. I mean, is that what you feel at the deepest part? But again, it's far easier to live on the surface, at least for a period of time. Yeah, I've done this. I'm gonna do that, and then something else is gonna happen, you know. But is that really true? It's far better to really rest, relax in this, come to terms with it, and then have the flexibility to go in whatever direction is necessary for the time. So, this koan of I forget who the main character was. Was it
Hogan?
Yeah. So this main character Hogan, you know, he really is punching right back to the reality of this moment in time. He's not getting involved into theories, etc. But even with theories, it's important to reflect on those theories. Is this true? in my experience, not in a hypothetical sense, but in this experience at this moment in time, is it true? Then a lot of the chaff that we receive in terms of information can be thrown away. You know, it's that I know for many of us we get twisted up with politics, but in most instances and in reality is we're always faced with this. Politics is a small part of that. It's like Egyoku Roshi, she would say, everybody plays politics. The question is, do you play good politics or do you play bad politics? And in that sense is, do you do politics that benefits the people or do you do politics that damages the bonding of the people? You know, again, this is the core of it. So whenever you ask somebody else about something like Buddhism, the important thing is that reflect on yourself first. Do I know the answer? Because you may. The answer may be an inkling that's at the back. For myself, when I look back, there was always a knowledge of that vast, boundless being that encompasses my environment. That's always in the background. It's almost like calling me home. And part of it was to be quiet enough not to follow beautiful theories and paths that other people have marked out, but to see basically what was functioning on a momentary basis that I'd always had as a human being. You know, and then if you look at that, that's transferable to most religions. When you see that, is that most of us want to relieve suffering. We want to relieve our own suffering, want to relieve the suffering of those around us. That's the core. Do your actions, do your values really lead to that? Are they addressing it even more important at this point in time? You know? Is that for most of these teachers, these case koans that have come down to us for, you know, 2,500 years, these were instances in a person's life where they were addressing somebody else. And those were the answers that they gave in regard to the people and the circumstances that were around. So with this is if, say, you want to make statements that come from this century, say, from this time, is that be very aware of the interactions that occur, again, on a momentary basis. Because those are the times where you can change your life and you can change somebody's life around you. But the basis of it is the practice of this shikan, just this. And the koan then is how is that actualized in one's life that occurs. That's why, for me, koan is so important, because everything that occurs in life is a koan. Not in a, say, a traditional written down sense, but it's that making unevenness even. And the second thing is that, you know, the empowerment to say teach, just the empowerment to teach. I mean, I was teaching before that, was given by my teacher. My teacher was given that by somebody else. Are these things important? Well, you know, the main thing is the recognition. You know, you have done this and you're in the position of teaching, so it's more than likely you can do it because you're already doing it. And then with this aspect of making unevenness even, once the training wheels are taken off, once all of the support for that practice is taken away, still that practice occurs as living in itself. Everything has been pared away at that point to this bottom line of being, you know, over and over and over. And then our lives are going to inform us. It doesn't mean that we're going to enter into good circumstances. It's how we go through those circumstances that's most important. How do I live? How do I apply that living to whatever is occurring? So, you know, I think at this point, because it's a short koan, I'll open it up for questions and comments. But Steph's going to just make an announcement, because I know some of you leave to do other things before the questions, but the announcement's important.
Yeah, so I did open up, you can unmute yourselves and jump in and start asking questions and comments. But an important announcement, and I'm going to put it into chat now also. We're going to be moving our online Dharma talk. This is the last Sunday online talk. We're going to move to Saturdays at 9 a.m. Pacific time, starting June 19th. And Sunday, June 20th, our Sunday program is opening up here at Yokoji for those who are fully vaccinated. We're updating the website, and we'll have that updated soon within the next few days. We do require registration and proof of vaccination for those visiting Sunday here at Yokoji. But the online talks will continue Saturdays, 9 a.m. Pacific time. I'm going to try to keep the login and password the same. So hopefully it'll be the same link that you can click on. And that's it. So you can, you know, ask any questions you have on that as well.
Yeah, and obviously you can turn up for both. It's not one or the other, you know. Yeah. Great. So if you have any questions or comments, please bring them up.
How does the registration take place for Sunday?
Jim Yugen Sensei is working on that now. I think it'll be a link, much like you have to register for session, but it'll be a much simpler form of just the dates you want to attend, and then a link to upload the vaccination card if you have a copy of it. Once we have your card on file, you don't need to keep submitting it. We just need a copy of it to hold in the office. And that's it. It's really just the date.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things with this is that, you know, we don't particularly want a rush of a whole bunch of people coming at once. So we want to be prepared, you know, so if we have more than what we can hold in the Buddha hall right now, we'll move into the Zendo so we can plan for it a little bit. Is that it?
Good. Yes. Nicholas.
Great, Nicholas.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you for the last year. It's been an amazing injection to my practice.
Yeah.
You said earlier the unmapped territory is why we are practicing.
Yeah.
I don't know why I started practicing in the first place.
Yeah.
You were suffering.
Yeah,
I don't know why I started.
Yeah. Well, for me,
to start.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, it took 4 years before I could vocalize it. You know.
But I don't think I can vocalize it now.
Well, don't worry about it. You can deal with it on a feeling level too. Just, you know, just by sitting and being and not filling your mind with all kinds of ideas, notions, you know, etc., is that eventually a lot of that, of the suffering and the, you know, maybe the story also drops off at that point too.
Or maybe, I thought many of the things you've said over the last year that I'm trying actually to dissolve my story.
Yeah.
I'm living a fantasy. I'm not living a reality. I'm reliving a story. Mm-hmm. I identify by my work or whatever it is.
Yeah. And so, you know, the important thing is that whenever you see that story coming up, try and put it on one side for a period of time. Try and get the space in there so that other things can enter in, you know.
Well, COVID has taken my work away, so it's taken a lot of my story away.
Yeah, well, that's good on that level. So that's probably why that's right raising up is that, you know that you're identifying as something and try as much as possible. Don't re-enter into that. Try and let that take it away. And then what will happen is you'll identify with something deeper. your own being rather than the story that's about your being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
but find out, you know, I mean, that's the thing, is don't take my word for it, you know, just see if that's true. For me, is that when I started to sit and put thought on one side, it became pretty scary. Because, you know, I always had my life based on a story, but in time it was based on nothing. But nothing in a positive sense is that anything can come out of that nothing. So then I could identify as other people a lot easier, and I didn't have to have stories about them either in that way. So I could look at the world anew rather than have it all boxed off in various ways.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much.
Hopefully we'll see you on Saturdays too. Yeah.
Yeah, just trying to work out what time that will be.
Yeah. I think it's for you it's 5, you know, being from Britain in the first place. You're about 8 hours ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
5 PM. Okay.
Great.
It doesn't conflict with much of the day anyway.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Was that much of the day or match of the day?
Match of the day.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. Important things first, I agree. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nicholas. Right. Deanne, looks like you're unmuted.
Good morning, Yoshi.
Good morning.
I remember you telling us once about, I don't remember who it was, somebody asked why they practice, and they said because it makes me happy.
Yeah, that was actually that was Theravadin. It was slightly different words. I was the context was I was a young monk, and I was pretty critical of Theravadin monks, and so I was put as an attendant to a Theravadin monk, and then I was kind of going like, you know, why do you obey for 400 or something precepts?
And oh, that's
it. Yeah, and he just goes, because they make me happy, and it just melted my heart. You know, it's just like, if it works for you, that's great. It's not really my thing, but yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Someone else. Come on.
And we've only got 16.
We've only got 16, yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah, if you can't think of a question for yourself, think of a question for everyone.
Morning, Roshi.
Morning. How are you doing?
So due to this rescheduling, I'm not going to be able to attend anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it conflicts with when I sit with my Zen Center, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you know, for us is so, we're trying to include the people from Europe in this. So it's not, you know, it's not too late. So that's our tricky part with this. And the other thing is that we can't do this on a Sunday because with groups coming in, we can't shift our Sunday morning program to Saturday, which we would like to do, but we can't do it. So it has to be this way. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It has to be some way.
Yeah.
So I figure I might as well ask this question, you know, because it's been kind of on me.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, I've been sitting for a while, and I started koan practice just a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I find the performance part very, it doesn't make sense to me. I feel like I'm in some kind of, you know, I feel like I'm training to be an actor, you know.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Big, you know, improvisation
right.
workshop. And
yeah.
Kind of annoys me.
Yeah. So, okay, we'll drop that and see it in a different way. You know, and there are parts to that. You know, the thing is, be able to be, basically what you're doing is you're being something instead of allowing your self-description to run. And that's one of the ways that koans work, is that after a while, as it frees you from the same habitual thinking that you've been doing by simply putting yourself in somebody else's shoes or the circumstances that's there in front of you. And you don't even need koan for that, is that when you enter into a circumstance, instead of letting the critical stuff go, what is this? And allow your senses to really be present to whatever's there. And in time, is that then that takes away from this more observational quality where we can hold on to our own beliefs and descriptions. When you enter into something, then you really feel it and experience it, you know?
So what's coming up for me as you're saying all that is curiosity.
Yeah. 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 Look at the world in a different way. It's great. And you may, you know, your regular daily life then may become a lot more curious and a lot more alive in that respect.
Okay. Yeah. I've been hung up on the same koan for a while. It's like, I know the answer.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
It's just presenting the answer.
Yeah, get over it. Like, get over it. Yeah, do it. Do
I
it.
Don't know what the hell you want, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just very confused by that. I'm just not really sure what to do with it. And
yeah, and that's important. Go to the thing that you feel is closest and do that. And in time, that'll become a habit. You go to the thing that's closest, rather than what is acceptable, you know. And that's far more important in terms of your life. I mean, for one, you know, I'll give you an example. I just couldn't think of an answer, so I just thought, okay, go in there and sing You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog. So I did. And it helped me move through various things of getting stuck. You know, the thing is, you try something, but go to the thing that you feel is closest. Some things are embarrassing, you know, but, you know, get over it. There's going to be a lot of embarrassing things happen in life, you know, in one way or another.
Funny you should say that. As a koan answer, I actually thought about singing a verse of Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't work with me.
So I dropped it.
Yeah, good. Good. And again, it's not about answering, it's the work that goes behind the answers, you know, because in time it's not like there's fixed answers. It's that you answer your own being, or you answer the being of the person that's there, you know. That's far more important. It's not getting the right answer.
It's okay, now I don't understand.
Yeah, well, you know, don't worry. You know, it's not that there's fixed answers. The thing is really express who you are or what the koan is. You know, don't worry about trying to fit into a right answer. I mean, it's just like if you have if you're trying to convince somebody or you're trying to get to the truth of something, you ask all kinds of questions and you give the answers that you feel are really going to draw something out of the other person. You know, that's more like what koan is from the perspective you're coming at it right now. It's not like you're trying to get an answer. It's more like you're doing the work that is going to bring that out. And then that's going to begin to appear in your life in many different ways.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rick.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Shoryu. There's a question in chat from Rita, how do I let go of the suffering from recently euthanizing a beloved dog?
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, this, you know, I had to do that with Honey. And the thing is that if you have to do that, then that's something that you really have to do. The, you know, for me, it was appreciating the life of that dog, you know. And eventually is that we bond with people, with animals, all of those things. It's almost like we internalize the life of those. They become part of us. And so as we go on is that we remember those thoughts come up in time, mm-hmm. is that we can hold those in a natural way, just with appreciation. I mean, it happens with people that pass, you know, with people as well as animals. We love people and things. We are the holders and givers and receivers of love. You can say it in that way too. There'll always be loss in one way or another. There'll always be love. You still have the love for that dog. You still have the love for life. And always remember that those parts, you know, love is a big part of living as human beings, and that bonding is so important to us in all aspects of life. So that's all I can do right now. Okay.
Thanks, Rita.
Thanks, Rita. Quiet today.
Yeah. Terry and Penny.
If you can unmute.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Roshi.
Hey.
We're happy that the talk's switching to Saturday and looking forward to getting up there when we on Sunday. So
yeah.
That's good news for us. And I like the time also, so
yeah.
Great. Question about your talk, or question or comment, whatever. You can say, like I think you said, you are Terry.
Yeah.
But I can't really say I am Terry and have in mind the story of who I am. That's
'cause Yeah. That's extra.
And you've known, we've known each other for a lot of years, I think.
Yeah.
It's
a safe bet.
Yeah.
I can't think of numbers either, you know.
So, in a sense, you know who I am, but that still doesn't get to the bottom of it, right? I mean, only.
I can't. You have to. And I can also say is I haven't got to the bottom, as if there is a fixed bottom. That is continuous.
Yeah. You know? Like I guess where my mind is going is, people think they know who I am, and they may think who I am, but. Who is the one that sees through these eyes?
Yeah.
That's different. And you can't just go out and try to explain it to a person on the street. That's very personal.
You can't explain it. No.
No, no.
they said that in the Koan too.
Yeah, exactly.
So you are verifying somebody's statement from 1,200 years ago. Isn't that amazing?
So this is kind of some reflection.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true, though. You know, you're the only one who can do your work. It's the same for me. But we meet in that we do it together as human beings, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I started practicing because of karate and martial arts, and I saw something there, and, a lot of it was maybe storybook written down I saw something there in the the aspect, the way a practitioner would hold themselves and with confidence and kind of knowing, being aware, and that appealed to me very much, and of course once I started practicing, it's not exactly the same as that, but but like my karate master said, there are no secrets. There is no magic. It's all hard work. It's all practice. And once I did start practicing, I saw that it was even more appealing to me in many ways. So thank you for all this time.
Oh, thank you. Again, they don't see the sweat of old horses. Just as well. Yeah. Thanks, Terry and Penny. Yeah. Okay, so Prashna Hart. I'm not sure who's going to do it. Larry or Dan? Go on.
Who's Prashna? Who's Hart? Hey, it's
me. Yeah. Yeah.
Hiroshi, thank you for your talk.
You're welcome.
Your exchange with Shoyu, is it Chris? Reminded me of something that might be helpful, but it was just a couple of years ago, not that long ago, and I was doing some teaching in business realms, and the supervisor of the program I was teaching in had a conversation with me about the way I was dressing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, you really need to dress in more business-like attire.
Yeah.
And I threw a fit, just like Chris, like, I don't want to present koans that way, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm Dan, and this goes to identity too. I'm Dan, and I'm in black t-shirt and jeans, and that's the way I...
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so you're like Steve Jobs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My best.
Yeah. So you've got another uniform on.
Yeah. And that's exactly the point. I got in a fury about, you can't tell me what to do. That's not how I dress. And that's not how
exactly.
I
dress. Yeah.
And I finally caught myself and said, you know, wait a minute. When you surf, you put on a wetsuit. When your monk, you put on your robes. When you run, you put on your running shorts.
Yeah, yeah,
when you
play
soccer, you put on your soccer cleats.
Yeah, yeah.
Get the F over it, and I put on a collared shirt.
Yeah.
You know?
Good.
And I just find, you know, it just reminded me of that story.
Yeah.
It's like dropping that. This is who I am, and this is the way.
Yeah, exactly. And again, we're still trying to conform to an image on one level or another, you know. And we know this. I remember, you know, hearing a Frank Zappa concert, and somebody was ragging on the police. You know, they're like a bunch of hippies, and they're ragging on the police. And Zappa just said to him, you know, be very. Knowing yourself that we're all wearing uniforms. It doesn't matter who and what. And one of the big things in Zen practice is being able to use forms. So then the thing is that it's not that we're being formal, it's that this is another form. We learn a form, we see how it works. So then when you go out, you see how the forms work and you enter into it. You know, I remember I had to. We were getting ready for a 3-month training period where the Japanese were going to do like it's known as a Tokubetsu session, and they had all of this stuff to prepare. I was also looking after my son on my own at the time, and also my mom. And I went to court. They're asking me to do jury duty, and. You know, I was going, well, I can't do it. But they didn't accept that. So I watched how everything worked, and I went, okay. I wrote down 10 reasons why I couldn't go. Then I passed it to the bailiff, because I knew the bailiff did that, because I was watching how it worked. He passed it on to the judge. The judge looked at it, passed it on to the defense counsel. They wanted me as a Buddhist because they didn't think I believed in the death penalty, because it was there's like a, you know, it was like a murder thing, you know. And they went, okay, you're excused and you can go. But a lot of people, and we even get it with people that have sat for a long time, well, I don't think the forms are important. So you might want to just look at the forms you like in life. The forms that you don't obey, you might want to look at the ones you obey subconsciously and just follow them, like traffic lights. I'm not going to follow those forms. I'm going to go on the other side of the road.
Yes.
Fuck you. You know, like that, you know. And then again, it's we just don't recognize those forms. But then when you can use them, you can go with them or you can go against them for the benefit of the people around you. And that's the thing, is that it's not like, you know, people say, well, he's being very Zen. It's not like you're putting on an act. It's just like, how do you deal with the circumstance to the best of your ability? you know. And there's so much to be learned in those forms and be able to enter into them freely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fluidity through it becomes really fun and powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I mean, to be Zen about it, it's the one who sees through these eyes and hears through these ears.
Yeah, yeah.
In different clothes.
Right, right. I remember, you know, Trungpa Rinpoche, you know, one of the things that he did was he would do dressage. You know, so he abandoned a lot of the robes, but then he would get Pete, he'd go, okay, now put on this uniform, get on a horse and look good, you know, and then be like, put up these different forms for people to master. And in many ways, they're ridiculous. We would never use them, but then there's a certain freedom that comes from that. It's the same with koans, is be something, you know, be something for a while. It doesn't have to be you. And then it basically, it's like the robes, they change the way you move. And so you can't move in those same ways because maybe you've got a kimono on or something, you've got to do shorter steps, you know, or you can't sit down in the same way because you've got to fold up your sleeves. And that changes your being in various ways. You can't embody the view that you have of yourself. You can't carry that out. And obviously that happens with different work that you do too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan. Anyway. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for the talk.
You're welcome.
Deanna, looks like you're unmuted again.
Yeah. Just a couple of things following on that, Roshi, that reminded me of. I've noticed, like, if I haven't been out in the wilderness for a while, if I just bring out my hiking boots and bring out my trekking poles and bring out my hiking pants, I start to enter into my being as a wilderness hiker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just from,
And,
you know, part of it's muscle memory, but part of it is also
looking
symbolic.
Good.
Yeah. Well, nobody will see me out there in any of there.
Yeah.
I mean, just the symbolism of it as well. Like, I'm acknowledging this now as something important to me.
Yeah.
And I even found out sometimes during the training period, it was like, do I really have to go put that robe back on? I just took that off an hour and a half ago, so I wouldn't get food all over it or something.
Yeah.
And it would seem sort of like a mini burden or something. And then when I would put it on, it was like, oh,
yeah,
you know, this is what I'm doing next.
Yeah.
And it just, the feel of it, and also the symbolism of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a real teaching, and I think you said something to me also, too.
Also the cleanliness of it too. You don't want to be going in the zendo in your work clothes.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. And you said something to me when I was probably complaining something about forms, and you said something like, you know, they are an expression of something that we really cannot put into words.
Yeah.
And that has really stuck with me. That was so helpful. There are things that are at a depth or a level where they can't be verbalized.
Yeah.
And you know, all cultures have that kind of
way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. 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 So thank you for that. That's really been helpful.
You're welcome. Yeah, thank you.
Hi, Roshi. This is Dan.
Hey, Dan.
May I
speak? I can see that. You have the form of Dan.
But, you know, and I'm still attached to it, too.
Yeah. Oh, are you a fifth Dan now?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, good.
No, I was just what Deanne said there about touching on something that's, I don't know, that's beyond words. Could you say something about that in terms of Zen practice? And you've used that expression.
I mean, for religion, you know, I mean, when I was a Christian, it was the same thing. There was something beyond words that I really need to, one, be more aware of, and then two, to allow that to come through in terms of my living. There was that. It didn't change with Buddhism or awakening. There was something that was always at the edge of my consciousness that I needed to see more closely. And so by, say, putting on robes, that helped me to do that for a period of time. You know, now, you know, to a non-quantifiable level is that that's always with me, no matter where, no matter what clothes I wear. In that respect, I don't lose that aspect, you know. But it was important for me to be able to do that, interact with that, be it, rather than have the superficial stuff always be front and center, and not allow that out. And because that sort of indescribable part was also the most loving and expansive part of me as a human being. I can allow that, you know, this person there is like me. And when that, because of that undescribable depth that each one of us has, they're in the same place. A rock is in the same place. A tree is in the same place, you know. And the robes were just a reminder of that for me for a period of time. They still are, you know.
Okay. Thank you, Roshan.
Thank you. Good seeing you. Has the red algal bloom gone yet?
Yeah, it's diminished. We could say it's diminished. Yeah, quite a bit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Liam, go ahead.
Hey, Liam.
Hi there. I just thought, first of all, appreciate the continuation of this weekly meeting, you know.
Yeah.
Only a small little readjustment, you know, day and hour. But
yeah,
it's just so, it's become such a part of my life. You know, it's a bit like putting on a uniform in a way.
Yeah.
Just correlated with that discussion we've just been having.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, today or this weekend, I traveled to the West Coast.
Yeah.
Of Ireland, right?
Yeah.
Which is 2.5-hour drive.
It's a much smaller
country than yours, where you are.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
But you know, I left in time to come back.
Yeah.
Because there was no Wi-Fi, very bad Wi-Fi there. It was just like, you know, it's my time of the week to plug into this koan.
Yeah.
Study and with the group and everything else. And it sort of injects some level of beingness that kind of it just penetrates to a level that stays with me for quite a bit a week, and bits of it come out.
Yeah.
There's more of me present in the week.
Yeah.
Because of practice of plugging in. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's great. Anyway, I'm just appreciating the fact that you're carrying on. And the reception is really, really good today.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a bonus.
It's like life. But sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. You know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but the message is always good anyway. It's
just you know, I mean that's one of the things of like a center is it fulfills a thing that we're always available, you know, and that's really important, because it's like our life, we're always available. But we're the ones that put, well, this is religious, this is the pub, this is sports. You know, it's just we're always available no matter who or what we are. And so, you know, we try and sort of do that service so that it catches on at some point, you know, in that on that level. Yeah.
It's great. Anyway, see you next Saturday.
All right. See you then.
Thank you.
If I remember. Jeez. Yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah.
You'll be frog marched out sitting down at that seat. So.
Okay.
All right. Right. Thanks, Liam.
It's Liam.